the Osho Zen Tarot. I really have too many of these decks. I'm going to start giving them away. But these ones I really love because the pictures are great and they embrace both like light and dark and all of the different moods, a lot of different archetypes and stuff that we've been talking about. So there's a few decks. This one and the Medicine Cards by Jamie Sams, if people are interested in stuff like that. And then the other one I always use is this one, the Return of Spirit by Cheryl Lee Harnish. So just if you, that's stuff that you guys are really digging and you're like, oh, I kind of want to pull cards every week. That's part of the integration module that we're doing here is, you know, this is a lot of information. Virginia and I were just discussing, like, you could be at this for years and this would be new to some people. And that's been my experience is I'll meet people in their 60s, 70s, and they're like, wow, there's just something about the way this is being delivered that's new and fresh and right now. And you could be brand spanking new and never have even touched this stuff. And it's meant to be absorbed in a way that works for you. That's the whole way that's been designed, that there's no right way to do it. It's like grab one of the practices. There's not a lot of practices, but all of the practices work. The body pendulum, I go through a review here, but the meditation, the body scan, like they just, if you're a human being, they make life work for you. If you want to have a scattered mind and have your emotions go crazy and be reactive, by all means, don't use them. But they work. They absolutely work. So, and then it's a matter of not freaking yourself out, but just going slowly and gently. And we'll talk about that through today's presentation as well. So I'll pop into the slides for everybody. And just before we start, if anybody does want to chat or share anything, as always, just throw something in the chat box and ask a question if there's something that, because this is the last call. So if I'm talking about something and you want to bring something up, definitely take advantage of this time. All right, so here we go. Share screen. And we're good. Okay, and I think I can read all of my things here. Oh, actually, I'm going to try this first. One moment. Bear with me. There's a way for me to see the chat, which I'd like to see. And I want to move this so that it's out of the way. Aha! Okay. Alrighty, so last call. This is about being. You know, a lot of people ask about being, so we'll be talking about being today. What is being anyways? You know, there's doing and there's being, and most people know the doing, you know, and we've talked about masculine and feminine. That's the doing and the show me and the, you know, empirical evidence, scientific proof. There's a place for it. Like, it's totally great, but that's where there's the problem. That's the masculine model. And people are calling, you know, the patriarchy and that. So it's, you know, don't get to wound up with it, but the feminine is being called forth right now. So there's a very natural, almost even sometimes fiery, uncomfortable push towards being. How to stay on track, we'll talk about that. How to access your inner authority using all these tools and what it means to live your truth. There we go. So I have a tool that I'm going to put on the Facebook group that is a picture of a body, a thought bubble, a heart, and a sun as spirit. So it's mind, body, heart, spirit. And it's in a chart format. So there's four quadrants. And the center is, if you were to imagine, a circle being drawn in the center. And there's still all those quadrants there. But there's this center. So we've talked about the mind and the body and the heart and the spirit and how they all work. But it's really about understanding that there's a center where it's like you have your own town meeting and there's some information from our heart coming from here. oh, and there's some thoughts and data over here and some advice. And I'm like, okay, take that into consideration. And then there's some synchronicity and spiritual insight. Perhaps there's some dreams that come up, you know, that type of thing. I'm just going to check if this is somebody who's coming to the call who messaged. No. And so the center, again, it isn't something that you do. It's something that's always there. And to practice all of the things from all the modules, you will naturally start to sense, especially the heart module, when I was talking about neutrality and that space in between stuff, the space in between all the thoughts, that's where pure insight can come from. That's where real soul direction can come that isn't affected by all of our perspectives and paradigms and thoughts and history. It's like pure information can come to this center point. There's a sound going on there, but that's okay.
That's my sound, Jenna. That's my sound. Sorry.
Okay. Can you put yourself on mute, Olivia?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, lovely. I was like, someone's hitting something with a piece of grass or something. Like, well, like a piece of, I just was actually seeing like that when we'd go to church on Palm Sunday, that like palm stuff would make that sound. Okay. So that's the center. We're going to keep unpacking this throughout today's call, but just, yeah. So just consider kind of that eye of the storm place. There's lots of information coming from a lots of different places. And as we've learned in each module, they all have a different way about them. Some similar, some completely different, but then there's this place where your own center is. That's, you know, I guess the best way for me to describe it. It's more of an experience than it is a concept. Okay, here's the big question. We know what to do. Why don't we do it? Right? Like, how many of you have like a 10 pass yoga pass and it's sitting in a drawer? Or a gym membership, or greens, or I think like there's so many people that have like an Isagenix cleanse in their cupboard and some sort of a green thing and like, you know, just stuff. There's stuff that you're not using that at some point felt like a good idea. Why don't we do what we know to do, right? We're gonna talk about it. This concept of resistance is really good to know, because again, we're human and being. Our humanness it can be killed, it can be maimed, like there's legitimate fear living on this planet. So I came up with this description today and was quite pleased with it, that resistance is our natural reaction to an unnatural world, meaning this unawakened separate from this source, separate from center, separate from our interconnectedness, that causes us to act out of fear and causes us to act out of selfishness and greed and all of those things that we are trying to protect ourselves from. So let me simplify this a little bit more again. Is resistance is you start your new diet program. Maybe you get to day 3, maybe you get to day 7, maybe you're like a real disciplined person and you get to day 14 or 30, but then something happens. It's strong. Like resistance is such a fascinating phenomenon where it simply is some sort of energy that's trying to keep you back, trying to keep you where you were before you started. And the best book on this is The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. I'll have that on the Facebook group. He just breaks it down really well. He talks to writers about it, but this is true of every human being. Resistance happens. So when you want to start a diet program, any improvement, if you want to have a spiritual breakthrough, if you want to heal your childhood, if you want to clean your closet, there's some sort of resistance of like, whoa, this is fundamentally different from how we were. That's scary. Let's not. And furthermore, it's deeper in our cellular human DNA of this fear of being different or this fear of standing out could have actually could get us killed, right? You know, Jesus. And it's actually, I have a slide of a bunch of people. So resistance is, it's interesting because people call it self-sabotage and a whole bunch of different things. But if we can just get that it's something that happens to human beings and it's going to happen, then when it does happen, we're less thrown off and we can keep doing what we know to do, even though this thing is happening, whatever that is. So it could be like, you're just tired. I've been flat out nauseous and headaches will happen as a form of resistance. When I was writing this book proposal, holy crap, like tired, grumpy, like, just not sleeping, and then being tired. Like, it's not easy being your being. Like, at the end of the day, once you get more in alignment with it, it's the easiest way to live ever. But there's also this resistance that's going to happen. And I think a lot of people know what I'm saying when we talk about this. So we're gonna keep talking about this. So the consequences of being your truth are, this day and age, you're less chance of going to prison and being killed, but still there. But you know, it's the fear of criticism, the fear of being misunderstood, the fear of abandonment, not fitting in or being invited, like not being in the crowd, a fear of failing, so you don't do anything. But you know, underneath all of that is actually this core fear of death, because if you don't fit in with your tribe, you could be exiled and then you would die. So our humanness is deeply afraid of anything outside of the status quo. Just illogically afraid, much like our inner child when we talked about that. It's an illogical fear. And that's where our inner ally, our spirit, our heart, our inner adult come in, and we can be like, okay, I can do this. You know, you develop a new inner conversation where the primary speakers are your inner adult and your inner ally. And then the other ones come up and they're like, but, but. And then you're like, okay, well, let's talk about this. Most people have it the opposite way. Their inner critic comes in and it's strong and scary and it sounds true and it feels true. And that's that. And it's got you. So as you're doing this work, don't expect to get this all at once at all. This is like deep dive stuff, you guys. As you develop in all of these areas, as you consider all of these concepts, as you re-listen to the classes, as you live your life as your teacher, which would look like, if you want to paint, paint. If you want to dance, dance. If you want to become a farmer, become a farmer. Like, don't, you know, quit your job and leave your family and do that, but like, go on the weekend, take a class, start injecting and weaving, as we spoke of, the things that light you up and work for you, because that's going to transform you. The sheer act of doing that thing is going to bring up everything that needs to be sloughed off for you to be more of a present, purposeful, joyful being, and being able to enjoy your own self in your life. That's natural. So you don't have to go and take a gajillion courses and then do what you want to do. The act of doing the thing you want to do actually will transform you. And that's why there's a shitload of coaches right now, because that's what people are doing. Everyone wants to live their life and then they're scared to, and they don't know what to do. And then they hire people to help them. So that, you know, there's this whole world of people wanting to live according to who they are, authentic living. Millennials are like, I don't want to work for, I don't want to get up the corporate ladder. They're like, I want to go home and see my kid. I want to have my weekends. The conversation's changing about what success is. But at the end of the day, the doing the thing that you want to do will also bring up resistance. So this is why we're talking about it here. Because as you leave this class and you go, oh, Jenna said, take a painting class, and then you do, and then you don't want to go, and then, oh, you got a cold, can't go, or, oh, your kid's sick, can't go. That's when you use your discernment. Don't do something because I said to do it, but go inside, and you will know there might be a strong intuition not to go, and that's truthful. And then it's a discernment, so like, feel it out. You can usually tell it's resistance because it's like, I don't know how to describe it. Energetically, it's kind of like smoky and slimy and kind of like victim-y and excuse-y and like that's kind of archetype of a snake slithering, like addict energy. You can kind of tell when it's resistance. It has a certain energy to it. And as you progress with the stuff, you're going to really tell. When it's like a flat out intuition, you'll know. Like you'll know. You'll be like, oh no, this is clean and clear. It's less smoky. It's like, bam, intuition. And so a lot of people judge themselves if they quit something, when in fact they need to stop something. It's done. It's run its course, and that's coming from a powerful place. And so learning this discernment takes time. Give yourself a break. Try it on, like, you know, the body pendulum and the inner eight ball are a great place to try it in small places. Like, should I have this tea or this tea? You know, Oprah says this tea. And so notice if that's like your inner dialogue's like, yeah, but the studies said, and yeah, but is it a yes for you? You know, you can play with that. I think I have a thing from Layla, except I can't read it because the...
I was saying that I've experienced times in which I have an intuitive call, but I reject it somehow. I reject it thinking, oh no, it's just me being lazy or whatever. Like the lady that offered me the weird project. And I was like, no, but I should want to do anything right now that I need to do. Blah, blah, blah. And then it feels like resistance. And I'm like, which is the resistance? Is the, like, resisting the job? Is that? But then I figured it out. But initially, it can feel like resistance.
Yeah. How'd you figure it out?
I figured it out because I just realized that I felt really bad being in front of that person.
Good. Nice.
I was like, this person doesn't feel like someone that's trustworthy. So that's why.
Great. So at some point it became really clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bam. She's not trustworthy. Don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Very different than blah, 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 blah. Like that can be how.
Yeah. And it started like blah, 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 blah. It started like, why, who do you think you are to reject the good opportunity? Blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah.
And so you can almost even tell by the way the voices are talking to you. The resistance. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. That's great. It's what's hard to when. Oh, okay, I see. When you're,
it's just the same thing I said. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Does anyone else have any questions about that? Has this happened to them before, and they didn't know the difference between a genuine intuition, a genuine like centered guidance, and resistance? And if you have no idea what any of this is, and you're just taking it all in, that's fine too. Okay. Thanks, Layla. Go back. All right. And so I have the next screen is just easier to read. So here's some people in history that were considered crazy. Christopher Columbus was like totally attacked and criticized for thinking that the earth was round. Giordano Bruno claimed the earth was not the center of the universe and he was burned at the stake. I can't read all of them here, but I have I can read this one. Galileo taught that the earth rotates around the sun and he was thrown in prison. So when I said resistance is a normal reaction to an unnatural, like we're getting our creators, our innovators, our thought leaders are being attacked for being thought leaders and for being creators. So there's going to be some resistance, isn't there? And that's our human natural reaction to this unnatural state that we found ourselves in with humanity. Cute picture of an inner child again. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what this concept of resistance brings up some questions about inner child, ego, and I just want to clarify some things here. So we have our inner magical child, which we don't want to run the show either. It's like, what if I could fly off this building? Might be your inner magical child's thought. And you know, you don't want to live as your total magical child, but it's your creative. It's the one that'll run up and hug somebody. It's the one that trusts implicitly. It's just like, I love you. I trust you. Beautiful energy. But again, we live in the world we live in, and we need to have one foot in and one foot out. We need to have that discernment too. And being spiritual doesn't mean trusting everybody, because not everybody deserves your trust. Not everybody is going to have your back. Not everybody is capable of loving and respecting you the way you would like to think they would, or you know they have the potential to. So light workers, sensitive people, heart-centered people see the best in people and really get confused when it doesn't work out. And so we need this discernment of our body intelligence. Our body intelligence can feel, you know how like a dog will snarl at somebody and then it turns out that person was kind of a jerk or stole something. They feel that person. They feel it and they know it without any, you know, the person can be all smiles and then they're a friend of a friend, so they can't be that bad. And that's our mind, right? So we're using our full discernment here. That's why the body intelligence, heart intelligence, spirit, you might have a dream about somebody you're going to do business with. And then it's like, ooh, maybe not so much. So we want to use all of our intelligence systems and have our inner child, magical inner child, feel free to speak to. And that's kind of how that inner town council thing is going. Our ego is a generic word for the part of us that feels separate from it all. That's like me first. What's in it for me? It's also fearful, like I'm being attacked, or I'm the only one who feels not good enough, or I'm the only one who's not figuring this out. So it's also that victim. But the ego is the part that is separate from the oneness. And it's used in many types of spirituality, that word ego. It's also used in Freudian psychology. He has the id, superego, ego, blah, blah. But for our purposes, we're simplifying all of this. The ego is just simply the part of you that is cut off from the whole, that what's good for me is good for you. There's a higher way of doing it all, where we all are in that that flowy place, that feminine energy, working with the masculine energy. So the ego would be the one that's like stomping over people's heads and gossipy in order to get that position, like selfish, you know? And that's falling away now too. And that's also coming to the surface, as you can see in the world. It's very much coming to the surface to be cleared and cleansed. And then there's our inner wounded child. And when we did the heart section, we had that child in the box. And you know, it's hard for some people to see and to think about this, because it brings up those wounds and they're soft and tender and wounded, you know. But that's the part that underneath everything, it's hurt. It's hurt and confused and needs love. And so that's not the part that you're like, well, screw you, I'm doing it anyways. It's the part that kind of you want to be like, well, how can we do this together? Or, well, what do you need from me? Me being like kind of the adult person, the loving adult that will listen, but not necessarily only do what the child wants, which would be unhealthy parenting. So the inner wounded child will be the, it's kind of funny actually when you start to really get, create a relationship with your inner wounded child, because like mine will be like I was when I was a kid. I was a very precocious, stubborn kid. And that's how I am. And so that will come out in my life. But it's the defending, and this comes from ego too. But the inner wounded child requires more love. The journaling exercises are excellent. Sitting and meditating and just being with that part of you is excellent. Drawing, Very good. There's left hand, right hand dialoguing where you write a question as your kind of inner adult and then you answer with your left hand. So there's ways to create this bridge to you and your inner wounded child, which I highly recommend because as you heal all those wounds that want to be healed, that want to become back into wholeness, that inner magical child, that direct enthusiasm that's in God, right? That pure flow is all available there. So emotional healing and healing your past is a spiritual practice because by doing so, you're becoming more whole. That's what the whole thing is, union, spirit, oneness, whole. So, you know, doing what comes up is the thing to do. So if your resistance comes up and you have this memory of like that bitchy teacher that told you you can't sing and it hurt you deeply, that's when you would go home and start journaling. You know, so I'm just going to sweep this and just check out muting people because we got some background noise going on. Righty. Okay. So any questions about that? Because I know people actually had questions about inner parts. Alrighty. I'm going to mute everybody. I'm going to just mute everybody while I'm talking for the rest of the time. Continue. Okay. All right. All right. So when we are integrating, when we are learning our mind, body, heart, spirit, center, being, making this type of transformation, it's a complete paradigm shift. It's not a small thing. It might not be perceptible to anybody else in your life except people that are really close to you, but it's a huge deal. Like you're changing everything you've ever known and aligning with your true self. Yes, really good reason to be in discomfort and to embark on this journey, but the process is hard. So just have a lot of compassion for yourself. And I do acknowledge all of you deeply because I've been through it and I take people through it as my job. And it's, and anyone who is actually working with me knows exactly what I'm saying. But if you're new to this, just have lots and lots of kindness towards yourself because our tendency is to be harsh. And this is not the place to be harsh. This is slow, gentle, kind. Like, but I'm not getting enough and it's not going on. No. Who says, you know, questioning the thoughts, the thought sphere, bringing it down, do the brain dump, you know, like slow, gentle, kind. So treat yourself like picture a puppy coming back from a pound and it's like totally confused and disoriented and its nature is playful, its nature is loving, but it's freaked out. You know, how would you treat that puppy? How would you treat a small child? You are a human. You are that child. But we have such a harsh relationship with our own self. We learn to become our own best friend. And I did speak in the last one of how kind of heart-centered people can give, and not by any, like, they don't really mean to, but eventually they'll develop a resentment. And then a confusion about the resentment because they're a giving person. So why do they feel resentful? Because they're not receiving. And the way being goes is how you're being with yourself, your relationship with yourself will be the blueprint, if you will, of how other people will treat you and what you're capable of receiving. So if you don't buy yourself fresh flowers, but you love them, the likelihood that you're going to receive in other places in your life is less. And you can interchange that with anything. If you don't read French poetry and you love it, you're not receiving yourself. You're not creating a deep friendship with yourself and love of yourself. And so our capacity to receive when we don't do that is almost nothing. It's like getting an organ transplant and rejecting it. It's like someone can, I had this brilliantly lovely friend in university. And I had so many wounded parts that I was snarky and snippy and just such the extreme bitch to him. And I didn't even know what was happening, but these parts of me would come out in the face of his friendliness and pure unconditional love. It was just, he was just a friend. There was no agenda. And I just remember back to that. I'm like, oh my God, it was terrible. But I was unable to receive his giving. So as we do this connecting to ourselves, we also are changing our whole thing of how, what we're willing to receive. So we'll see better friendships, better relationships, better working environments. Like, I get coffee bought for me at McDonald's. Like, the person in front will buy it for me. Like, it's so, and that's that in that instance, I see that as the universe moved through that person to get it to me. And that's that oneness. And that's that being place. So I'm just being me, taking care of myself and giving and going down that road of resistance and, oh my gosh, what are they going to think of me if I'm on the media, or like if I write a book, oh my God, is it good enough? Like, by going through my own resistance to express my own creative truth, you get stuff back in that cycle of living your truth. So as much as it's challenging and real and raw, it's the best because it's in alignment with how everything actually is. And so you start to notice your life will change, maybe for the worse in the beginning, because you see that all your friends actually were using you, or that they were your friends in university, but you don't actually get along. You don't actually talk about the same stuff. And so sometimes there are very sobering things that you have to deal with. But then again, it's this whole process of what feels right in your heart is right for everybody. And that as above, so below, is within, without. Your, as you are good to yourself and as you do these small things that work for you, you are shifting the whole way that your life is going to go, because you're now changing that relationship. Okay. So there are tons of cool quotes about famous people that felt awkward. And I have a quote here by Steven Spielberg that I can't quite read unless I move stuff. So he never felt comfortable with himself because he was never part of the majority, always felt awkward and shy on the outside of the momentum of my friends and lives and friends' lives. Oh, of their felt outside of the momentum of my friends' lives. So artists and sensitive will tend to be not quite like everybody else until you have other artists, like not necessarily just artists, but artists are kind of the ones in our society that we can, the archetype of artist that we spoke of in spirit, that they have such a strong creation in them that they can't help but be that they choose that over being the fitting in with their friends' lives, and they just can't not. For most people, they are pretty good at stifling their what their natural life energy is trying to create through them. They kind of just like the beach balls too, like they shove it down, and they can kind of tolerate that and be like, okay, yeah, whatever, just get stuff done and let's just keep things going, and that's okay. Most people are okay and they can do that, and it kind of sucks because there's this awesomeness wanting to come through them. Let me go back to this one. So self-acceptance good enough? A lot of people are afraid that once they are okay with themselves, that they won't actually improve. Like, oh, okay, if I love how I am now, but I'm not making the money I want to make, or I'm not the weight I want to be at, or I'm not living in the lifestyle I want to live, then I will never change anything. And that's not true either. That's a fear, because we've had to use so much fear and self-abuse to change. It's like the whipping of the horse. When, as you access your being and you align with all this kind of stuff, you're like, I have a slide at the end of this that says what you want, what you seek is seeking you. Well, when you get in alignment with that, it's like everything is going to work with you to create that thing, instead of you having to whip yourself to force yourself and feel bad about yourself to do something, to impose change upon yourself. It's the less powerful way of change and transformation. It's slow, it sucks, it does work. Like, you will lose the weight, you might make some more money, but then there's a point where it just won't, because it's just like not in alignment with who you are. And that's where most people make changes. So like, what I've been doing isn't working, and now I have to do something different. So that's where pain, you know, pain brings you into your purpose. That's a lot of how that happens too. So is self-acceptance good enough? Absolutely. I have here, damn Skippy. If you contort yourself to be liked, people feel that. Like, they know. They there's like something off. You know, it's the people that don't give a shit. It's the Johnny Depps of the world. It's the, you know, Steven Spielberg and who's that Apple guy? I forget his name now. Steve Jobs, you know, like, that dude did not care what people thought about him. He was just being him. To the detriment of some balance in his life, but there's something charismatic and compelling and attractive when you're just okay with you. And what I was saying before is, when you're okay with you, others will be okay with you. So it's a risk in the beginning to be like, oh, I like putting together model cars. And you might judge that as dweeby or something, or whatever the thing is. Like, if you judge it and you don't accept it, the likelihood is the world will take your lead, and you will feel judged, even if no one's judging you. As you're like, this is what I do, this is who I am, here's me, you'll find the right people and all of that kind of stuff. So as you can see, this theme going on, as you're being self-acceptance, and you don't have to be it instantly, you don't have to attain it, you need to be in participation with it. So, and that's a whole other difference too, like in masculine energy, if you're not the evidence of it yet, if it's not measurable, then you failed. In being energy, if you're in action, if you're on it, if you're in the dance and participation, you're on track, and you'll feel it, you'll know it. And that's that, that's your evidence, is that feeling and knowing, and you build that. And from that place, you can build and grow, and it's sustained because you're in alignment. And when you do something that's not in alignment with who you really are, life will just bat it out of the way. Like, if you construct this life that you think you have to be, I've seen so many people that do that. And like life has a way of destroying it all, whether it's just like a nervous breakdown and you just can't do it anymore, or if it's something else, life won't support you lying to yourself, basically, is kind of how that goes. And it's your life. Like, love yourself, do what you love, find a way to make it work, participate, all that kind of jazz. So I love philosophers, like Stoic philosophers, and we forget in this day and age that we've been human beings on a planet for so long. We're not that different. We're amazing and mundanely simple at the same time. But one thing is certain, that there are truths that are woven throughout history that keep showing up, keep showing up, keep showing up. So I had this quote in my university room: we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. And I was sort of in this place of big, like that's the ego too, like a big show, a big something has to be big. And what I then learned with, you know, being friends with athletes and great people, is it's all small. It's the Olympic, Heather Moisey is a 2-time Olympic athlete for Canada. I met her at Starbucks, and we are kind of friends now, and acquaintances, I guess. And so we chatted about her, like, how silly it is that people have this relationship to it being so special and shiny, because, you know, that's what the media shows us. But real excellence is the consistency, is the regularity. It's the boring crap. It's our ego is going to resist that, because it's like, but maybe there's something better, but yeah, you're meditating, but maybe you should read that book, but yeah, you're reading that book, but I don't know, maybe you should, you know, like bunch of complication, or it should be big, or you should meditate for 60 minutes or do nothing, or you should only work out for 60 minutes. Like, that's been made up. Someone made up 60 minutes. Now there's all this evidence, 20 minutes, do high intensity. So, you know what I mean? If it's all been made up, you can create what works for you. You can take the data, again, that town council meeting, what works for me. So, but here's the big thing is the consistency. Once you do find what works for you, consistently doing it, being okay with boring, being okay with small, because it's in those small, consistent things that there's the power. Okay, so be aware of that, that tendency of needing it to be big. Consistency conquers resistance. So if you wake up and write, and you wake up and write, and you wake up and write, you are winning. Like the resistance has no power over you. And in this quote in this slide says, resistance has no strength of its own. Every ounce of juice it possesses comes from us. We feed it with power by our fear of it. Master the fear and conquer resistance. So the fear is just all the crap that comes up when we are doing something. Will they like me? Am I good enough? What will they think? Maybe it won't be good enough, and then all my worst fears will come true. Blah, blah, blah. We all have the same things. We think we're so special, but we're all in it together. We have very similar fears. So do the consistent thing. So whatever that is for you, and start small. Like if it's lemon in your water and you're like, oh, I've heard of this lemon in the water thing, and I just think that's a good idea. Do it. Like, how hard is that? Squeeze, drink. I say that, but I'm also saying that completely knowing that your resistance is going to kick your ass and do all sorts of weird stuff to get you to not do the thing you know to do. It sounds so wacky. This is why so many people get messed up with self-development and spiritual development, is because this is what happens. The resistance will come up. Okay. So again, about the whole, if you don't see it right now, then you must not be doing it right. Just because something isn't happening for you right now doesn't mean it will never happen. So when it comes to, and in the slide, there's a lot of fog. You know, if we're to use that analogy, like there's obviously still road on the other side of that fog. But if we were to listen to resistance, it would be like, oh, but there's fog. I don't know. Like it has a pushback. It has illogical pushback. And because it's illogical, once we start to really look at it or act in the face of it, whatever that resistance might be, it starts to lose its edge, like that last slide just said. The timing of what you think should happen is constructed in your mind, the mind module, way back to one, right? So, and it not even in your mind, probably. It's probably that thought sphere. It's like, it should happen by this time. Again, who knows? If you feel like you're on purpose, if you feel like you're in action, if you feel like you're doing it, then you're on track. Keep driving. Stay in your lane. You're going to get there. It's the, again, resistance will really use, but you're not there yet. But. It'll have some like crazy ex-boyfriend come into your life to tell you you're a big loser or something. And it's not true. It's like, it's totally crazy because I've had hilarious things happen in the name of resistance. Like I've sprained my ankle, car accidents. And yeah, maybe they sound bad, and that's not like bad things are going to happen to you because you go in and decide what you want to do is true. But sometimes they do. And because I was in a different place of my relationship to reality and what I was doing, I was kind of looking at them with more curiosity than I was like, oh, this terrible thing is happening to me. It helped me shift, or it helped me move to something quicker than if it didn't happen. And that's that what's good and what's bad concept in the last spirit module. What is good? What's bad? How fast? If I would have gone to this place in my business in the beginning, my business has grown gradually and organically, and I've grown while it's grown, and it's worked. And I haven't followed like typical business stuff. I've just done what works, watched what people need, and created that, did what works for me, created that for other people, and that's it. And so there's a lot of people with with their goals and they have this idea of how it should look, and that's what throws them off. It's just their idea of how it should look. If we pull back and we have a little town meeting, we meditate, we journal, and we tune in, maybe you're not on the right track and your spirit will tell you. But at the end of the day, most people have a very false idea of what life should look like and what success looks like. And that's the thing that gets in the way. So just really pay attention to how quickly something should happen, because if you're not supposed to meet your soulmate right now, if you're not supposed to be in a relationship right now, if the intelligence of life is working with you for you, then just do what's in front of you. It's on its way. That's where being comes from. It's like this conviction of I'm in tune, so I'm in alignment, so what you seek is seeking you. That's that place. And it's so scary to do, because you're surrendering to the idea that you are taken care of, that you are on purpose, that you are worthy, and that's where all the fear comes up. So you can see we're all kind of doing this. But just chill out, let life do you, let life work with you. Take your hand off the wheel sometimes and watch what's happening, and then tune in and you'll get a sense. And it's, what's cool is if you're really freaking out, just ask for a sign and allow that whole spirit module, whether it's a dream, a sign, a literal sign, you might have a sign that says like you're doing fine while you're driving, and stuff like that happens all the time. Spirit's funny. It's not so serious. Okay. Here is the tool that I recommend using. I have a slide of the well-being checklist that, if you go to jennasmithcoaching.com, it's downloadable there. I'm going to put it on the Facebook group for you guys. This is a way to do the small, consistent things. This is not a checklist to get it right. This is not a checklist for something else that you have to do on top of the million things you have to do. This is more of a, consider it a being management checklist. It's or frequency management checklist. Like, this is the thing that's going to help you stay in alignment and do the things you know to do, and notice when you're not doing this. So there's no good and bad, right? There's just what's happening. If you get there's 10 options here, but you know, you can pick 3 and measure 3. You could pick 10 and measure 10. So I'll explain it more in depth, because most people have worked with me. They know what this is. You pick the things that work for you: meditation, journaling, walking, reading, knitting, playing with the dog, playing with your kids, jokes, giving someone a compliment, et cetera, et cetera. Letting life work with you, you'll know what works for you. You'll know. So that whole become your own anthropologist, like what works. I know what makes me bitchy. I know what makes me good. I know when I'm on a trip, the things I need to do to help cultivate my being and protect my human parts. Like, I know enough about that I can be more in harmony with others because I know what to do for me. And it might mean leaving dinner early to have more time alone or to meditate. That's the type of relationship you're trying to cultivate here. Is if it's in alignment with you, it's alignment with everybody. It's in the highest for you, it's in the highest for everybody. It's not the either or of the ego. It's not the all or nothing of the ego, the separated part. So the well-being checklist, another way of looking at it is as you fill your well, that you have an overflow. So these are the things that fill your well. Like mine are some form of music, exercise, visualization, meditation, drinking greens and superfoods like that once a day, money management, managing my environment. So I can get, I'm a Pisces, I think Ingrid's on here. I could just care less about the physical world for like weeks at a time. And I've really managed that because I actually do like a nice environment. So like tidying is on my well-being checklist. Like, whatever works for you guys, whatever, this is the integration part. This is the consistency. This is the tool to help you. And then don't put it in a pretty folder and file it away. This is a participation. This is engagement. This is action. Small action, not big action. Don't use this as an excuse to mess yourself up, because the other thing that will happen, for sure, is that all of your crap will show up with the well-being checklist. So things that have happened with other people have been the classic one is I'm doing it in my head. It's in my head. No, it's not. Like, can you remember like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? How many did you do like of 10 things? And no, you can't like make it easy for yourself. So on Monday you did 3 out of 10. On Tuesday you did 8 out of 10. And what we look at here, or at least when I'm working with people one-on-one and when I look at it in my own life, it's like, okay, well, how'd you feel on that 3 out of 10 day? It isn't bad. Okay, great. If you're just starting, 3 out of 10 is good because it's 30% more than you were doing before. And so we're changing our relationship with ourselves by doing these things. We're also revealing our relationship with ourselves. If you overwhelm easily, if you judge yourself, if you have to get it right, if you're like, screw it, I don't want to do it. The people are like, I'm doing it in my head. Okay. But this isn't the place to do it in your head. Write it down. Use that tool. So then that's revealed that the person does everything in their head and they need to write stuff down more. You see? So it's kind of cool. Don't think too much about it. Just do it. Like, just do consistent things daily that work for you and then kind of see what happens. And of course, I'm always available to message me if things are coming up, but this will work for you. If you never talk to me again and this is the only program you ever do, this will work for you. It just will. So just do it. That's it. And then I have a little cute sticky note here that I put up because I noticed people wanting these big grand things. Is stable is the new sexy. Excitement, glam, struggle, hustle, grind, go big, win, be a billionaire, fake it till you make it, isn't always success. It's success should feel good to you. And that's why it's going to sustain. If you eat only celery for the rest of your life and you love cheese, like, does that make sense? Like, unless you're allergic to cheese and you're just being silly. But, like, there's things that people deprive themselves of for some rule that they've never made up that they're running their life by. And this is your chance to align with your rules, align with your way, discover your way and confirm it. You know, like that participation. Okay. Any questions? Let's take some breathing moments here. Holy crap, it's 8:25. I've just been like, do-do-do-do-do, doggy-doggy. And I did not notice that this was basically an hour. Let's do some heart breathing. Like, so let's weave in some of the things we've learned. So if it's safe for you, placing your hand on your heart center, which is your chest area, right in between there, and just bringing natural attention to where your hand is and the space underneath your hand, allowing the jaw and the forehead, the back of the head to let go any unnecessary tension. And as you're breathing into the space under your hands, feeling your breath, breathing for you, just allow the breath, allow the heart center to, what is it doing? It's kind of resonating. It's kind of, there's this real resonation feeling that I'm getting, kind of like a woom, like a vibration. Just allow that to be. Then you can bring your mind down the elevator to the space underneath your hands, or walk down steps from your mind down to your heart. And just let yourself know that everything's okay, that you're doing it right. That you're good enough. And just feel what that feels like as you shift your perspective to the heart center. And then gently open your eyes and maintain that center. So just because you open your eyes doesn't mean you pop out. And just play with that a little bit. Just look around the room and keep your hand on your heart center and notice being in both places at once. You're aware of all of the data that your mind is seeing. I'm seeing a couch, I'm seeing a pillow, I'm seeing a carpet, I'm seeing light, and I'm being in my heart. So this place of integration is a both and place. You can be in your heart and thinking thoughts and aware of what's going on. I can be in my heart and running this teleclass webinar class. I can be tuned into my spirit and my heart and have my mind running. And you see how that's all starts to, if you're just in your mind, you can only be in your mind. If you, and the other things are happening, you're just not tuned into them. If you start to play with these perceptive states that we talked about, oh, I'm in my heart, feeling my heart, I'm feeling that kind of resonance. You know, people have said things like it feels intimate, or it just feels calmer, feels more quiet, or it feels like an energy, you know, that you can be in that and thinking at the same time. And I just find even while I've been talking, it just centers me again back into that center. It's just like my breath changes. So I'm just going to shift this. Does anybody want to share it, how that was for them to go from listening, lots of information, you've just had a whole day, you're doing Christmas stuff like that, and did anything shift in connecting to the heart center for you at all? I think everyone's digging just listening. So the chat box is there if you guys want to ask anything. I'll go through, there's a few more slides here. Okay, and then we're going to do that end activation, and I pulled a card for us as well for today. The strength of persistence. So, you know, this sense of, there's a book called Power Versus Force, so the sense of like big, strong, is just one type of strength. What really is powerful being a human being on a planet is persistence. It like a river cuts through a rock in this slide, not because of its power. If a big wave splashed against a rock, it would do very little, but like this small bit of water gets in there, and then the water, the little granules start to part, and then it comes bigger and bigger, and then a little river can go through a whole rock face. So the ability for the water and the elements to slowly over time create something that's now sustainable. And this is where, again, that nature connection through spirit, like, okay, nature, what would nature do? I'm having a good day, I'm having a bad day. Well, some days are overcast and some days are sunny, you know, so is it bad? So nature's such a great teacher, but this whole sense of persistence and consistency and repetition are so powerful that they're often overlooked by our ego mind or our all or nothing mind. Being versus doing. So this in this slide, it says, ego says, once everything falls into place, I will find peace. Spirit says, find peace and everything will fall into place. This is being. So find your being, and you, again, what we said, you'll know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. The resources will come. This is deep faith and deep trust to do this and to practice this. But when you find peace, everything will fall into place is true. it's absolutely true. So we come from a world of striving, struggling, hard work. And now, this just because you find peace, everything fall into place, doesn't mean you won't do hard work. That's another misconception. It doesn't mean you won't have bad days. It doesn't mean you won't doubt yourself. It just means that it will be in place. You will know who you are. You know what you want. You'll know what that looks like. You'll be on track. The resources will reveal themselves because that's the way your being works. That's the way that whole integrated self works. Our inner counsel. So we talked a little bit about spirit guides. I didn't bring that into the spirit one, but apparently I'm supposed to. Higher self, I talked about. Our higher self is the part of us that isn't affected by this world, isn't affected by how we were raised, isn't affected by a myriad of things that can get us hooked. And it just knows. It's just pure, perfect information for us when we need it. Our inner counsel is our own inner authority, our own center. So, you know, I'm throwing a lot of words out there, but like in our center, all of this exists. The inner counsel is our ability to access our own connection to spirit, which is then connected to, again, whatever we need when we need it. And because we're in a participatory experience of life, as humans, we have to at least say, okay, I want my higher self to talk to me more. I want more counsel. I want something like a cell phone connection. And so if you want more connection, you can get it. If you in the book Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill caught on to this because in his imaginary realm, he would have these meetings with great people, and they actually, if you read the book and the chapter, became their own people. Like the thought of them activated kind of who they were already, and then they were actual advisors. Like they actually had their own personalities independent of how he thought they would be. Really, really cool. But the whole idea here is that you're not alone. You have access to intelligence. You have access to pure information, just as you would if you plugged in to the internet. We have that spiritually. The internet is just like an example of what we have as humans. If we're a laptop, we can plug in and have everything at our fingertips inside. So just don't forget that like everything you need, and that's what these oracle cards and stuff like that, they help bridge these worlds of having this direct information when we need it, as we need it. And that there are beings, if you will, that legitimately want us to do well, that legitimately are like rooting for us. And I can like feel them when I work with people and sense these kind of energies that are, they could be anything. They could be people that have crossed over. They could be angels. They could be spirits, ancestors, intergalactic beings. And, you know, people get into spirituality and they can get really caught up in all this stuff, but they will come to you. Like if you want to connect to something, they'll come to you. Maybe you might want to read a book about something, but again, your own inner counsel, your own ability to write. So if you feel severely drawn to doing something, that will probably be a good thing for you. But for the most part, don't forget your own ability to tune in, to go in. This is a quote I actually found today. I just have to move this so that I can actually read it. Okay, spirituality automatically leads to humility. When a flower develops into a fruit, the petals drop off on its own. When one becomes spiritual, the ego vanishes gradually on its own. A tree laden with fruits always bends low. Humility is a sign of greatness. I just really loved that quote because it's speaking to this grandiose, like success, big, but you know, in all actuality, like there's this real organic naturalness. No one's clapping when when a bloom becomes a fruit, right? Like there's no ego to that. And so if we can kind of get over ourselves a bit and allow that to just be, allow ourselves to bloom, allow ourselves to express without expecting so much from the world, that's very liberating. Very liberating. Just I'm being who I am. That's what feels good. There's no big fanfare, and that's okay. Is liberating. So when we enter into this being center essence of who we are, less is more. The simple is full. It's just different. It's just different. You can walk down the street and have a totally different experience of fulfillment as you enter into this state. And then here's the slide of what you seek is seeking you. So relax. You've got this. You are the manual. Life is the teacher. There's no missing out. There's no wrong way. That's kind of it, guys. I mean, we have time for any Q&A if anyone wants to chime in on anything about the whole class, about today. Any questions whatsoever or any shares of what you're doing, I'll just create space for that. So if anybody wants to share, we'll have time for that. I think we're good. I'm going to read a card. Oh, Layla's head. Oh, okay.
Oh, there's a question in the chat.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll go after the question.
Okay.
I think she posted it before me.
What do you do when you actually feel resistance? Great question, Becky. It varies. So sometimes you need to act and do the thing. This is where the well-being checklist is really helpful. But oftentimes, remember the perceptive states that you change. So if you're like really in your head and you're just cleaning a drawer or doing your dishes, can move the energy. So doing something completely unrelated is something to do, like going through papers or like going through emails and unsubscribing from stuff. You know, like that's one thing because you're moving energy, but you're not letting the resistance win. Do you have an example to speak to? I'm just gonna unmute. Maybe not. I might have muted you guys. Yes, you do. Okay. Writing. Okay. That's the just do it. That's where Nike got it right. It's like do it, have it be atrocious and suck, and then do it again the next day. The Stephen Pressfield book talks about that, and everything I've ever seen about writing or anything creative has been about just doing it. And while you're doing the thing that you want to do consistently, all of your demons will come up and then you just do it again. And that's how you start to disarm how strong the resistance comes. So what will happen is once you start writing, let's say you want to write a book, you start writing, you do it regularly, and then you kind of get on a roll. And you're like, okay, I can do this. And then when you start to like publish something, that same wave of resistance, or it might even be stronger, will come up again. And then you have to either do something neutral, do some self-care, have a nap. Like if you're trying too hard, then do the opposite. Again, listen to some music, do something feminine, go for a walk at the beach, shift. All creatives have said that movie ideas come in the shower, random things, because we're free. But it's doing it. It's doing the thing. That's the non-glamorous answer. Okay. Layla, what would you like to say or ask?
I don't know if this is a question or just a share, but it's what I find. It really talked to me when you said that you don't need it to be big, because I find that I feel different. I feel better. But then I'm not really seeing the results I want to see, like, for example, in my business, right? I feel better, but it's like, when am I going to see things coming my way? So then I freak out, I stress.
Okay. Well, actually, I can speak to that. So, energy is intelligent. So if the energy needs to work on you, it will. So if you're healing, if you're shifting, that's where you want the energy to go. Once you get tuned up, which is soon, which is inevitable, which is right on the other side of what you're already doing, the energy that's available will work on your business. But because you're an extent, your business is an extension of you, you have to be full and shifted. Like any organization, the CEO forms the business. So as you are fully formed and shifted, the intelligence of life is just doing what needs to be done to create your vision.
Yeah, that's actually makes a lot of sense. But it's still frustrating to see that. It's still frustrating right now to do work and not see the results of the work that I would like to see. Because it feels like a waste. But at the same time, like, I like doing what I do. I like helping people.
So that would be like gratitude would be a great exercise of like what is working, what is working, what you are committed to. Like, oh, my health is getting better. I see it growing. Oh, this happened. That, like the evidence journal / gratitude journal to manage.
Yeah, because I've heard so many amazing things from clients like in the last few months, just love all over. And so there's good things, I guess, to focus on. But I launched an offer recently, and I was like, oh, this is such an amazing offer. And I didn't get the response I wanted, so I'm focusing on that. And I was like, wait, why am I even doing the work?
That quote about the bloom just happening and the other stuff falls off, like that's, you got too attached to this offer. And so as you're being worked on, like where you get too attached, it'll be an opportunity for your own growth. And then as you're like, this is what I have and here I go and I'm ready for people to receive it, and the releasing and all of the surrender, all of the stuff that you're going through personally is just showing up in your business right now for you. Like, look at where you were attached to it.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting, and it's something that you can't understand with your brain to want something and know that it's really good for you and want it, but be okay with not having it. I think it's a very hard concept to grasp with your mind.
Yeah, with not having it yet, with not having the outcome be your limited way, right? So it's not having it entirely, it's not having it yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's that road, foggy road.
There's
fog, yeah. Somebody else just messaged that they can agree with it and it's happened with them. Yeah, like the doing something, not getting results is really frustrating, and that's when you heart breathe. That's when you pull back, like you even sit back and you sit and you be and you let all those things come up. Your inner wounded child might come up. Your grandma who's like, blah, 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 you should do it this way. Like, as you tune into your center and you see all of these things that affect you, it's crazy almost, like how many factors are eating away at us if we aren't paying attention. And then as we start to sit in that center, be in our own counsel, in our, like being that CEO of our lives type thing, and having spirit be the main CEO, it's such a game changer. Like, it's such a game changer, and we're still going to be human and we're still going to be frustrated and we're still going to go through that. But then it just starts to become a little more interesting and fun versus kind of mean and punishing at the beginning. It's like, I'm doing everything right. Why isn't anything happening? Can feel punishing, but it's like, no, just keep going. Have a bit of sense of humor, have some levity. Don't take it so seriously. Use that metaphor. I pulled a card. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to either share or ask or get some laser coaching on? Jody, did you want me to speak to anything at all? And if you wanted to write it in the chat box, I'm going to open up the card and get ready to read the card and then do an activation energetically for you all. I don't think so. Okay. So I pulled a card. I showed it at the beginning of the call. A lot of people came on later. I'll describe it for those who are on audio. It's so perfect. It says adventure. And there's like this rainbow glow and this little childlike figure walking into the rainbow glow. I'll put it on the Facebook page, but it's a new deck for me, but it was just so perfect for all of you guys are either working with me already and doing this work. I mean, this is for me too. The adventure and the fact that there's a rainbow, it's like there's magic, but then there's this dark bushes around it. So it's like the rainbow's emerging out of the darkness. It's so, so cool. So I haven't even read this yet. So this will be cool for me too. When we're truly in a spirit of adventure, we are moving just like this child, full of trust, out of the darkness of the forest into the rainbow of light. We go step by step, drawn by our sense of wonder into the unknown. Adventure really has nothing to do with plans and maps and programs and organization. The page of rainbows represents a quality that can come to us anywhere, at home or in the office, in the wilderness or in the city, in a creative project or in our relationships with others. Whenever we move into the new and unknown with the trusting spirit of a child, innocent and open and vulnerable, even the smallest things in life can become the greatest adventures. So, bang on. There's more to this. Zen, this is a Zen Osho deck. Just show the picture again. Zen says, truth has nothing to do with authority. Truth has nothing to do with tradition. Truth has nothing to do with the past. Truth is a radical personal realization. You have to come to it. Knowledge is certain. The search for personal knowing is very, very hazardous. Nobody can guarantee it. If you ask me if I can guarantee anything, I say I cannot guarantee you anything. I can only guarantee danger. That much is certain. I can only guarantee you a long adventure with every possibility of going astray and never reaching the goal. But one thing is certain. The very search will help you to grow. I can guarantee only growth. Danger will be there. Sacrifice will be there. You will be moving every day into the unknown, into the uncharted, and there will be no map to follow, no guide to follow. Yes, there are millions of dangers, and you can go astray, and you can get lost, but that is the only way one grows. Insecurity is the only way to grow. To face danger is the only way to grow. To accept the challenge of the unknown is the only way to grow. Whoa, that's like bang on with where everyone's at. So when it says insecurity, it's like the unknown, not our belief that we aren't good enough. So time for whatever's going to come through me to you guys. I want you to give yourself a real sense of appreciation for doing this work for yourself, for getting the support to meet your challenge, for looking into these unknown, doing what lots of people just don't want to do. They don't want to look at themselves. They don't want to go into the resistance. They don't want to make their life messy, which this work kind of does. So I would like you to give yourself a sense of celebration, self-acknowledgement for whatever it is that you're up to at all, whether it's this class or something else that you're up to. But don't forget to acknowledge and celebrate yourself all the time. Again, just like you would a small child. I forget a lot too, like finished this course and wrote a book proposal and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, just keep trucking. And it's like, okay, I have to celebrate. Okay, I have to remember to live and to enjoy this life that I'm creating and participating in. OK, Okay, I'm just going to tune into what we need. So just breathe into your body. Okay, I've got it. Breathe into your body, again with the body scan, feeling the legs, feeling your pelvis, feeling your torso, feeling your arms, your neck, your head, your hands, your feet. Allowing your whole body to breathe with you and for you. And if you need to put your hand on your heart center to tune into your heart center, do so. But if you can just feel it, then connect. And as you tune into your heart center that's connected to your body, first out down your pelvis, I would like everyone to just feel roots, whether they're like crystal roots or real tree roots, just some form of roots going down into the earth. Whether you're on the top floor of a building or right sitting on the earth, it works. So you're reaching down, allowing those roots to connect you down to the earth. And sometimes as you're connecting down to the earth, you feel like a landing, or like when you pull a vacuum cord and then it zips up and goes right in. There's like a sense of like a, even like a bird landing on a tree branch. There's this real sense of a click that there, yes, it's like now you're tuned in. Now you're connected to the earth. And while that's going on, bringing our attention to the heart center, the space between the front of our chest and our back shoulder blades. Taking a deep, filling breath, relaxing the eyes, relaxing the jaw, relaxing the back of the neck. I'd like you to picture a golden light entering from the top of your head, about 6 inches. It's about the size of a softball. Pure golden light coming down into the top of your head, down through your brain and your mind, kind of like the New Year's Eve ball, down your throat, down your shoulders, until it lands in the heart center. And once it does so, it emanates out into the bottom half of your body. So your whole body is illuminated with this light. And all you need to do is connect to it. All you need to do is surrender to it and engage with it by giving it permission and invitation. And breathe. And if anything comes up, tension, and let's just keep breathing, feeling that golden glow. If you don't quite feel it, just know that your intention is good enough. Feel and bring your attention to the space. If your hand is on your chest, under your hand, or just that heart space. And I'd like you to connect to the heart center of everyone on this call just by your own intention. We're connecting all of our hearts so that you can see weaving berets coming out. Or again, if you're not a visual person, you can just know that that's what's happening because you are intending it. And we'll just breathe into that. Allow the energy of your body to expand beyond your body, to feel the space around you about 3 feet out as you're doing this. Or you may want to expand to the size of the room. So I'm actually seeing an infinity sign and not a circle, that our heart centers are creating an infinity sign. And so as we connect in this way, we are connecting to the truth that we are connected. We are connecting to the truth that we're not alone, struggling and suffering on this path, that we are going on it together. Just keep breathing. I'm kind of getting a bunch of messages for everybody. So there's this beauty of everyone connecting, the beauty of everyone being here and committed and real acknowledgement. But then as I was tuning in and I was just feeling what to share from the spirit world was this sense of sadness. There's a real call for self-care. They were very adamant that everyone on this call, either confirming you already knew to do self-care, but you know, they really want you to take care of yourself and to rejuvenate as much as possible to whatever degree you can in your life. And what I was seeing was more, if you can't take that time, if you're a mother and you're busy, if you have responsibilities, is to take this time in your heart center and to see yourself at a beach and to see yourself with beauty, like magic and beauty, like rainbows and beauty and the warmth of the sun. And yes, it's getting cold in our climate right now, so we're kind of contracting naturally. But there's a space of really wanting everyone on this call here to enter into beauty and to enter into whether it's body work, like getting a massage, getting really great body work done. And if you need referrals, let me know. I know some great people. But like feeling good, like just, there's this kind of sadness from the spirit world that's like we would feel if you see a shelter with neglected puppies. It's like this, like, oh, I want better for you. So whatever that is, if that's just even more self-love and more self-acknowledgement that your spiritual parents want more for you, and it's up to you to just invite and receive that. And like, if you don't have a lot of funds, like even if it's just a warm bath or following a beautiful meditation uninterrupted, just a small, luxurious, beautiful, yummy, you know, or sexy, sensual, just something that lights you up, something that feeds you on every level. So I have a sense that everyone has an idea, because there is a sense of happy, like happy relief now. Some people aren't sure, but you'll figure it out. So just remember that you are on track, on purpose. What you want wants you in this center everything you need will arise at the exact moment that's divinely orchestrated for you. Gonna do a little bit of drumming. We're a little bit over time, if you guys are okay for time. And just want you guys to really let this drumming wash over your body. Let the vibration anchor in the knowing that we are discussing on these calls of you are okay, you are on purpose, you are done. It's coming towards you. All you need is here. Just breathing that in, you are good, you are worthy, you are receiving, you are embracing it more and more. Every day and every way, you're getting better and better. Every day and every way, you're receiving more and more. Okay. So breathe. Let your body breathe. Seeing a big, everyone's this big bright light. Big bright light, bigger than your body. And from this big bright light, everything you need knows where to find you. Take a deep breath. Hold. Let the energy stabilize and center, and let it out slowly. Good. Good, 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 everybody. You guys are awesome. So loved doing this class with you all. I'm just going to share quickly some stuff that's coming up on the slides here, because I'm doing a trip to Peru and so many cool things going on. So here in your slides, it's going to be more stuff to do. Peru is going to be in April 27th. So my friend Susan and I are taking a group to Peru. If you feel called, let me know. It's going to be an amazing trip. I can already feel it even while the more that we're planning it. There's a process called the Essence Experience about this resistance, inner parts. Who are you really anchoring into your truth of who you are from your being? I'm going to be opening up the Tall Tree Coaching Program soon, most likely mid-January, which is how to shine and be seen and navigate the resistance and navigate the fear of criticism. So that's coming up if anyone feels called to that. Of course, there's one-on-one, which I think a lot of you are already doing. And I'll be having a You Are the Manual process, a CD coming out soon, which could be an MP3, and everyone who's on this class will get a discount on that, and you'll get the handbook for free as included in this class. Tash and I just created a Get Into It, How to Develop Intuition online class. And you might see my book coming out. It's all just a big misunderstanding. So lots of stuff. I see Layla's giving me a little applause. Thank you, Layla. And that's just more of this, all these misunderstandings that we have that keep us from our knowing and our being. And so you can look out for those things. I'm always available for questions because, you know, as I assist and share my gifts and let other people share their gifts and support you to share your gifts, and it just keeps growing and growing, and we change the conversation and we change the paradigm, and we do it by doing what we love and being who we are, not through any contorting struggle and punishment. So I know all of you have greatness in you, and all of you have beauty to share, and all of you have something in you that wants to come out. And so I just 100% support you to do that. But don't forget that you are the manual and life is the teacher, and to come back to the practices and come back to your being and let go more and let life do for you more.